من و تو هم خونی بچه ایرونی، خاک ما خونه ماست، عاشقش میمونی.
It is Wednesday, November 3rd, 2010, broadcasting live from San Francisco, California, home of the World Series champion San Francisco Giants. This is Radio Javon. Ironic and Live starts now.
سلام به همه شنوندگان ایرانیکم و رادیو جوان که در این چهارشنبه شب دارن به برنامه ما گوش میدن. امروز یه برنامه خیلی خوب براتون داریم. اول از همه تعجب نکنین، من مهوش هستم چون ایمان رو فرستادیم رفتش اخراج شد.
چرا سلای
ایمان خوشگل شده؟
چون دیگه یادتون اگه برنامه
ایت مهوش
برنامه پیش گفتن که ایمان صداش خوب نیست، یادتون هست؟
نه دیگه سو
خلاصه گفتیم که من که صدام بهتره.
That's so sad we didn't tell Iman in person that he was fired. I guess he has to hear it over air.
خودش متاسم برنامه رو میشنم متوجه.
He's at a bar in Georgetown right now. Don't worry.
خلاصه حالا یه برنامه خوب براتون در نظر گرفتیم از علی هم که بله دیگه ما سان فرانسیسکو جاینتس خلاصه قوقا کرده تو این چند بازی اخیرش.
It's going to be a sunny week.
آره واقعا. آره حالا چند تا چجوری جاینتس تو یه آپدیت کوچیک سری بده.
The parade was this afternoon. It was amazing. It's the first championship any team in the Bay Area has won in 16 years. Despite that we have like 6 teams in the fourth
sport. Is this the first time the San Francisco Giants are winning as the SF Giants?
The San Francisco Giants have been here since 1956 and this is the first World Series title.
No way.
No, they were the
New York Giants. Yeah. It was a big deal.
But I mean San Francisco, they're going crazy.
This team had no business. No business going this far, but
when are the Oakland A's gonna go?
I don't know.
Yeah,
they had their chances.
Wow, برای همین هر جا اصلا از هفته پیش همین جوری و برای کالیفرنیا کلاً خوب بوده.
Yes,
مسابقات NBA هم در جریان، لیکرز هم خوب بازی کرده.
Yeah.
آره خلاصه
این wow, Mahvash, you're into sports.
نه دیگه دیگه وقتی وارد کالیفرنیا و لیکرز و جاینتس هم که در واقع جاینتس اصلا من تازگی دارم، من از شما عذر میخوام.
I'm sure you couldn't escape it these last couple of weeks. You didn't have a choice.
کم کم تازه
این هفته در این colors, orange and black, like that's really bad.
I think they look good.
Doesn't matter. از لحاظ مارکتینگ اصلا من این توی مغازه ها میبینم این جاینتس چقدر داره کلاه و تیشرت فروش میکنه.
Oh wait, let's make a shout out to our fellow Iranian American Ashkan with his video for the SF Giants. Amazing.
Wow, yeah. Amazing job. آره خلاصه
maybe we can have you on air, Ashkan.
Stephen Perry from Journey, lighten up. Give the kid a break. He's not letting him play it anywhere. Licensing issues. Let him play the damn song already.
اوکی خب حالا دیگه برنامه امشب یه برنامه می‌کنیم، یه دیبیت و یه برنامه خوب داشته باشیم. آره خلاصه جمع جور کنیم خودمون رو شروع می‌کنیم. کلن این دو سه هفته‌ای که گذشت هم چون که انتخابات آمریکا در جریان بود و یه سری اتفاقاتی افتاد توی میدیا خیلی
and the elections.
آره آره election انتخابات.
Oh right, sorry, I wasn't listening to you.
Touch on the coin. Oh, sorry.
Maybe I should have made that the word of the week.
Yeah. I did think Shahid was gonna bring us in with her Farsi skills to this episode.
You know what, Ali? I'm like not gonna tolerate your political incorrectness towards me. It's because of my gender, isn't it?
Not at all.
Okay.
All right, خلاصه این دیگه.
I'm about to say something, but let's keep it moving.
Oh,
by the way, for everyone who's listening, Ali's on air, Mahvash is on air.
Shine is on a cloud.
That was so funny.
Now, well, شاهد که امی الان قبل از اینکه شو شروع بشه که نبودیم ببینیم یه عنکبوت به اندازه یه نقطه.
I'm afraid of spiders.
به اندازه یه نقطه شاهد داشت از استودیو فرار میکرد.
I'm afraid of spiders.
I was not sure what just happened. I just heard screaming and
من فکردم زلزله اومده من دارم متوجه
نمیشم. And then I killed it with her own computer cover. It was awesome.
Yeah, you're not forgiven. Anyways.
خلاصه چه چند تا اتفاق افتاده که خوان یا خوان ویلیامز اگه بخوایم بگیم چجوری اسپانیش
I love the perfect Spanish pronunciation in the Farsi accent.
Juan Williams Juan of Williams. NPR. There's a few other journalists who the
but
same
we should
situation.
Tell them what the topic is first.
Yeah, no, I mean what we're getting into right now is being politically correct. And politically correct can mean different things to different people. I know to some, it's a form of violating their First Amendment rights. They think being politically correct is just like you're telling me to shut up and not say how I feel. Or for some people, it's a really a good way to minimize social offenses towards other people based on their culture, religion, gender, sexual orientation in those contexts. So to different people, it's a different thing. And what do you think, Addy? What do you think of being PC?
I think the reason it's a topic now is because people on both sides, especially it seems on the right, even though politically correctness seemed like it was originally born as to protect the more ostracized classes,
the minorities
and women.
Yeah, the marginalized.
But now the right wing feels like they're being kind of prevented from saying what they feel.
Right.
And from it's kind of stifling dialogue, political dialogue in this country because you can't say things about certain groups, which is true. I mean, all growing up, I think this is more a phenomenon that kind of blew up in the 90s where it's like you could say certain things about white people, whether they're serious or in a joking way, that you can't say the same or the parallel thing about a black person or about a Latino person or an Asian because it's automatically racist. So I think anything that you apply like a blanket over
right,
everything,
it's
just you're just giving yourself an excuse to not think.
Dang,
and so it's like, you can't say that about black people. It's like, yeah, I can. If it's true, it's just as true as what you were going to say about the white people. You have to be more sensitive given historical context, but it doesn't mean you should stifle our conversations. But I know we have a little bit of differing opinions on the panel today, which is good.
Sorry to interject. I want to give some of our listeners a few examples of what it means to be politically correct. Using African-American instead of black or the N-word. Using Native American instead
a little
of
bit of a sliding scale there.
Native
instead of black or the N word. It's like, what? I'm pretty sure they'd be okay with calling black. The other one, I don't
right,
know.
No. Are yani black. خودشون
black is okay black. For the most part.
Right, but
the correct PC term is
African American.
Yes.
Native American instead of Indian.
This
is interesting.
Correct,
when I did my research, actually, I found this out. Like using gender neutral terms, like fireman, no, firefighter.
Oh, I've noticed that one. But weather person, they say now.
Yeah,
or,
exactly.
Yeah,
and you know what? You never think about it, but these things really do kind of seep into your cultural knowledge because if you've always heard firemen, you always think of firemen as these big, bulky, hot guys. But they could also be women.
You do.
You know?
I know I do. But I mean, politicians, I think more and more, like you're slowly not hearing the word congressman anymore. You're hearing like congressional representative or just representative because there's no congresswoman.
I mean, I think these are positive changes.
Yeah, I guess.
I really do. Or like when they mentally challenged.
right. You're not allowed to even say handicapped anymore. There's even harsher terms that people
say
would use.
Right? Visually challenged or hearing impaired instead of blind
because
and deaf.
You're not supposed to say handicapped because it indicates that they're I don't know this or disabled, I guess, but it indicates that they're kind of less capable in some way.
Uh-huh.
Right. Okay. And before we get into break, I just want to ask a question. How about Iranians? Do you think they're very PC or no?
I think Persians are if they
know. Are we completely incapable of being PC?
No, they are if they know they're doing it. Like if they're like sometimes I'll be like, "Chera, man, cheesy nagoftam, magi in racist." Like my aunt will say something and I'm sorry, but she'll use the word like if someone's being stingy, I think we know what she says. not Cali me, but the other one.
Uh-huh.
I'll be like, Ama, you can't do that. Shut up, man. She's not going to... Una said, un mani, uno nada. I'm
like,
but you can't
just say... Or like Chish-Tang for Asian.
They have no idea that that's even bad because that's how we've always said it. I still say sometimes Chish-Tang. If I'm saying it to a Farsi person, oh, or at best, we think we're being overly nice when we say Chini for all Asian people. When it's like, Chini just means you're Chinese. Like, what if someone called us Pakistani? They're like, oh, yeah, yeah, same thing.
And I think it comes from
that area. It's like, no, that's...
I think
not
it
okay
comes from our lack of exposure to other ethnicities and cultural groups, but I don't really think it's nice to do that, call no Asian Chish-Tang, but I can't say that I've never done it.
Right.
How about you, Mahvash?
من تمام خیلی سعی میکنم که نگم، یعنی معمولا میگم ایژین اگه بخوام مثلا حالا در مورد همین مورد خاص که دارم
میگم. We have سرخ پوست.
Oh my god, that's like red skin.
البته توی فارسی تو ایران که من بودم بزرگ شدم سرخ پوست کلمه بدی نیست. سرخ پوست بیشتر به معنای همون نیتیو امریکن به کار میاد. ولی وقتی که به انگلیسی فکر کنم ترجمه میشه خیلی شاید
We could be talking about freaking Jersey Shore and call them Storch Boost because that's the same thing. It just means you have burnt skin. You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't. You understand what I mean? And that's why I say Iranian people are willing to be politically correct if they have any idea that they were being incorrect in the first place, which
right,
most of the time they don't.
Red,
like, what?
Red being used as a term for Native Americans is actually like a derogatory term and that's probably where سرخپوست comes
from. من میخوام اینو تاکید بکنم که تو ایران حداقل اون چیزی که من باهاش بزرگ شدم سرخپوست کلمه بدی نیست. مثلا یادم هست من توی مثلا درس جغرافی و مثلا آشنایی با مردم مثلا میگفتن آسیایی ها از اون قسمت مثلا ژاپن، چین، مالزی، اندونزی اونها زرد پوست هستن.
Yeah. Oh my god, that's
what I'm saying is that it wasn't even a bad it's
yeah,
how they
it's
identified.
Not bad,
the color of the skin for that
but that's backwards
what specific
like that's
race.
What they used to teach in the 50s or the 40s, you know what
yeah,
I mean, like
but
come on,
no one wants to be identified that way by other people, but it's like Latino people can identify themselves as brown. Asian people can say yellow. It's
but
not. It's not.
No,
it's not derogatory
culture
to other people. Say. But anyways,
anyways, yeah, we have to
go
to break.
But I mean, that's an interesting thing too. Is people coming from non-Western societies and are they even taught that these are bad things? Because it's not
right.
Like you go to the grocery store and you're
does PC
and the checkout
exist?
Person is Asian.
Right.
It's
does
like
PC
you never Chechtang. You read
cultures.
About in a book. You don't actually see Chechtang.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Okay.
Yeah, whatever.
I hate to cut you off, Ali. Not. Anyways, we're gonna be back next with the news.
Garth right now.
You're listening to Iranican Live on Radio Javon. Please email us with any questions, comments at iranican@radiojavon.com and we'll be back. Oh, and this is the Ashkan song playing right now.
Just a loyal fan trying to do the best I can, but these last 3 or 4 years have made it hard. But I had faith and I had hope, and thankfully the Padres choked. Either that or maybe it was the rally thong. Let's go Giants, NLS division champions. sensation.
And we're back on Iranican Live. It's time for the news for this week. And with us is one of our newest Iranican members, Sarah.
Anchor persons.
That's right. Good job.
It's just like Anchorman.
The whole point was to be PC this
Anchorman,
whole show,
Ali. There was an anchor woman, Christina Applegate.
Yeah,
I can't remember her name, though.
Anchor person, yeah.
Anyways, welcome to Sarah.
Okay, so this is Sarah with the news. This week has obviously been a big week for news. Elections were on Tuesday, and Giants won the World Series. It's also been a big news week in Iran. Last time we talked about how Iran might be meeting in November to discuss their nuclear program, and it's been confirmed. Discussions will begin November 15th in Vienna. And Ahmadinejad clarified that Iran is willing to discuss certain topics that has been agreed upon and on its own terms, and discussions will have to be based on justice and respect. About a week ago, Iran maintained their title of the World Bodybuilding Championship by winning with 100 points, and they received 2 gold medals, 4 silver medals, and 1 bronze.
2 words. Wow. Nuclear steroids, that's all I have to say.
Bodybuilding?
Yeah.
Wow.
There was a total of 100 bodybuilders from 26 different countries that took part in the tournament. So that's pretty cool.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay. خیلی جالب بود این یکی.
So yeah. So also an update on the hikers. The 2 hikers that are still detained will stand in trial in Iran later this month, and the girl that was released on a $500,000 bail claims that they accidentally stepped over the border to Iran because the border guard gestured for them to come over, and once they did, he pointed to their feet and said Iran, and then he pointed behind them and said Iraq. Iran, Iraq. So they weren't forced to come. They were just tricked to come and cross the border. And so,
wow.
Yeah, she'll be returning to Iran for trial too. And
oh, really?
Yes.
I think people dumb enough to hike on the Iran-Iraq border are not that too difficult to trick.
Honestly, Ali, who are you to judge? You're not a hiker.
I'm not a hiker, but you know what I like? Mountains in safe countries, not Iran.
But I wonder
not
how
in
that,
Iraq.
That's literally where IEDs are get transferred is from Iran to Iraq. You're like, oh, you need me to help you carry to the truck?
No, guys, like, I wonder how that story is going to translate into Farsi. Like, you know, like, be man gof biam inja. Like, you know what I mean? Like, how is that even going to stand up in a court of law?
Here's how it's going to translate. 3 spies have crossed the border from Adolf.
Exactly.
That's how it's going to translate.
Anyway, so also, in addition to the U.S. hikers, there have been 2 Iranians that have been charged with spying for Israel about Iran's nuclear program, claiming that the 2 Iranians were in contact with Israeli intelligence and provided them with information. The case was presented to the courts on Monday, so I guess we'll see what happens with that.
Iran to Iran? I don't believe that.
Okay. Yeah, so allegedly, okay. I guess.
May I ask something? Are they Jewish? Are they?
The article didn't specify.
Or are they Baha'i? Or are they Mujahid?
I'm guessing they're probably probably going to be Jewish.
It's very possible.
But we'll see.
Okay, I hope not.
So also, the opponents of the Islamic Republic of Iran have always kind of labeled the Islamic regime as the regime of the clerics for years. And Khamenei recently responded at a public gathering in Qom where he told religious students, clerics, and religious teachers that calling this regime the regime of clerics is a lie and slander. And according to Khamenei, this is the Islamic system. The Islamic system is a religious government with religious values and not a regime of clerics. Which I don't know. I think that's kind of the same thing, but
yeah,
that okay. works.
I was waiting for him to differentiate, and he didn't.
And he didn't, yeah, basically. So, as some of you might know, last Thursday was Ahmadinejad's birthday.
How old is he?
He's going to be 55.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So,
did anybody ask him to count to 55 to see if he can?
No. But people from here tweeted for his birthday.
I saw Ahmadinejad on Saturday night.
Oh, yeah, you did.
Yeah.
Hot date?
Oh, yeah. No, I saw him in San Francisco, actually. There was a guy dressed up as Ahmadinejad for Halloween.
Oh, okay.
That's a pretty cool costume.
Yeah.
So, U.S. spokesman Philip Crowley wished him a happy birthday through Twitter and asked Ahmadinejad.
Who wished him a happy birthday?
A U.S. spokesman. Not wished him a happy birthday. That's a really incorrect way to say it, actually. But he basically, you know, for your birthday, Ahmadinejad, free the two imprisoned American hikers as a birthday gesture as you celebrate your 54th year. And he also said that your 54th year was full of lost opportunities and hope in your 55th year you will open Iran to a different relationship with the world. So,
and Ahmadinejad responds with another question. Why don't you open the doors of opportunity in your 54th year?
They unblocked Twitter and then
he always responds with a question.
He has a Twitter account?
No, I mean, no, he doesn't. He didn't answer.
I was like, word, what? Well, first of all, that sounds like a lot of characters for Twitter. Secondly.
Well, Sarah Palin responded to this and she was very angry about the tweet and responded with her own tweet saying that the Obama administration is coddling the enemy, which I'm thinking that she didn't really understand what he was saying. I mean, I don't know.
Yeah, Sarah never understands.
Sarah Palin.
Palin never understands.
Let's differentiate that. So an Iranian student protested against what's being described as a shortage of gasoline by riding a donkey to his university in northern Iran. So you guys should definitely look this up for the video because it's basically just this guy sitting on a donkey on campus and all the students are circled around him just taking video and you can hear the kids saying like, Ashang fin biggie, you know, like it's really funny. But
that's a great gesture. Yeah, I like that.
That's my favorite piece of news of the day. And a Persian leopard, which is currently on the endangered species list of the International Union for Conservation of Nature, was born in Amersfoort Fort Zoo in the Netherlands, and the zoo staff has named the cub Cyrus after the Persian Empire's founder, Cyrus.
Wow. Oh my god.
What is a Persian leopard?
I love Persian leopards. I just looked them up.
They're really cute.
I always loved Persian leopards since I googled them 2 seconds ago.
Oh my god, everybody go Google Persian leopard cubs.
They're really cute.
They're different than a regular leopard.
We're
not talking about cougars anymore, okay?
No, we're not.
Calm down.
Cougar میشه گربه وحشی پشمالود. Forget that.
Oh yeah. That was awesome.
I'm sorry, are you done?
I'm done. So that's all the news for today.
Thank you, anchor person Sarah.
Amazing job, as always.
Rafani.
Psychopath, right?
We're gonna.
Thanks.
So we're gonna go goo goo gaga over some Persian leopard pictures. And you guys go to a musical break and we'll be back. This is Ironic and Live.
She said I don't spend time like I really should. She said she don't know me anymore. I think she hates me deep down. I know she does. She wants to erase me. A couple days, no talking. I see my baby, and this is what she tells me. She said,
welcome back to Ironic and Live. You were listening to the sounds of Kid Cudi
featuring Kanye West.
Featuring Con somebody, West. So we're back with, speaking of free speech, Mr. George Bush hates black people. We're back with talking about political correctness and suppressing speech and
how much you should really censor yourself. Should you censor yourself at all?
I don't know. Should I? There's a lot of people in my life that would have an opinion about that, but I'm wondering, you talking about more generally.
Honestly, I grew up on Disney movies, and I remember this one quote, if you don't have something nice to say, don't say it at all. And that's from the movie Bambi. Okay?
Okay, that's the end of our show. We just started off a political discussion by quoting Bambi. This is what happens when Iman's not here.
Hey, have you never heard everything I ever learned, I learned in kindergarten? That's like a famous quote. Anyways, so
it is true.
I don't know. Sometimes it's just not nice to say things that are going through your head, because a lot of the things going through your head are uneducated guesses, wouldn't you say? Like when you generalize about a certain area of the population or set a term to them, you're not really doing the mental work necessary to like address the individual in front of you.
Sure. But I mean, you're not actually arguing that you should never say anything unless you have something nice.
That's radical for dinner parties.
Not for political discourse, or like in the playground.
Correct. Okay. But what I'm saying is like, if I do see someone of who's African American, I need if I'm like a person who has prejudice or racist mentality, I need to keep some things to myself.
Sure. Because, or even if you think their shirt is ugly, you should keep it to yourself.
What? No, not what I'm talking about. What I'm saying is that like certain opinions, whether it is your freedom of speech to say it or not, it should not leave your mouth because it's uneducated. Like what you're saying about like, let's see. Oh, because they don't know in Iran and they call them Zadfus or Sorfus and stuff. Hello, that's fine because they live in a bubble. It's not fine, but they live in a bubble of Iran where there is no Native Americans or there's minimal Asians.
Right.
But when you come here, you have a duty to educate yourself. If you use terms like Chishtang or Zartust, you just look foolish. You look like a 50-year-old who like grew up in the 50s like or the 60s where they did call them like chinks or like yellow people.
Right. So, I mean, that's not an excuse for what they're doing. The argument is they don't even understand that dynamic of you have a duty to come here and educate yourself. You understand what I mean? When you don't grow up in a culture, it's kind of a given that sometimes people still have those opinions, but you're not allowed to articulate them.
Right.
So the question is whether that suppresses free speech and exchange of ideas, or is it good to suppress those type of things? Because, you know, I bet you a lot of race, you know, I happen to grow up in a very liberal household, but I'm sure a lot of racist kids hear their dad, you know, look at some TV and say, oh, look at these monkeys jumping. And then they form those opinions. So if they don't hear those things articulated, then but I also know, honestly, I know Persian people whose parents talk exactly like that. And then they'll call me, my cousins, they'll be like, can you take me to the N1 basketball tournament in Oakland? And my dad won't take me. He's going to be like, look at all these gorillas. So he's like,
oh, wow.
He knows that, you know, sometimes it doesn't mean necessarily that you're going to think that way because the adults think that way. But you can argue that there is a benefit to suppressing those.
Right.
Because
do you agree that your opinions influence others? Like what you have to say may influence what other people think?
Sure. But like if you pick the most extreme examples, like a Nazi or a Klansman, then it's easy to say, yeah, you should suppress opinions.
Right.
But maybe there are people, for example, that think, you know, people who get social welfare are getting a free ride from society and they're really just lazy. They need to go out and get jobs. If you say that, it has a racist overtone because you're not allowed to really have that discussion. See what I'm saying? There's shades of gray where there's topics that have racial overtones that aren't necessarily as blatant as I hate black people, I hate Persian people, I hate Mexicans. Obviously, there's no way you can come out and justify saying that.
Right, but we're not talking about something. You're right. You're completely right. We're not talking about anybody like radical here, like a Nazi or a KKK member.
Right.
But average people who do have racist or prejudice mentalities. I mean, like, we can all sit here and say we're not racist, but there are certain things that we've grown up with or that kind of, you know. No.
No, I agree.
بعضی وقت به نظرم بد نیست در بایش صحبت بشه
ولی چون خب خیلی ها هستن که این فکرها رو دارن تو الان مثلا تو ذهنشون، ولی مثلا در برایش صحبت نمی کنن چون میترسن مثلا براشون واقعا به خاطر مثلا قوانین سختی که وجود داره که مثلا تو اگه توی محل کار مثلا صحبت ریشال سکشوال یا هر صحبت اینطوری بکنی واقعا از کارتو ممکن از دست بدی، یعنی خیلی مسئله جدیه. یا یعنی بیاد بری توی پرونده کاریت ممکن اصلا کار درستی دیگه بعدش پیدا نکنی. ولی با اینا یعنی اگه به صورت اونجوری نه، ولی اگه جوری درست در بایش صحبت بشه، منطقی در بایش صحبت بشه، بد نیست. یعنی هر گروهی نمیدونم، یعنی همین جوری که ما الان نشستیم در این درباره صحبت میکنیم، مثلا از ترسشون، از نگرانیشون، از اینکه مثلا چرا مثلا به این گروه خاص مثلا اونجوری نگاه میکنن، چرا مثلا چه دلیلی وجود داره که نمیدونم، حالا نمیخوام اسم ببرم، چه دلیلی وجود داره که مثلا یه طبقه رو یا یه گروه خاصی رو یا یه ریس خاصی رو ما داریم یه جوری نگاه میکنیم.
Right.
چرا پشتش چیه؟ Right. چرا این اتفاق برای ما افتاده؟ mm-hmm. مثلا منی که از ایران میام مثلا هیچ چی میگن افریکن امریکن کوتان کونت یا هیچ آدم سیاهی رو مثلا تو ایران ندیدم، چرا وقتی میام آمریکا اینجوری فکر میکنم در مورد؟
درسته. دقیقاً. When you haven't been exposed then why does that prejudice still hold?
Does it still hold?
No, like why should it still hold, right?
I mean, for obvious reasons, because you haven't been exposed, so you only know the stereotypes.
No, but why should it? Because the thing is, like, if you continue to have good experiences or you're living around these people, then, you know, slowly you should... A rational person would reassess their values and their prejudices and kind of be like, okay, no, I'm editing this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So,
خیلی به حالت چی میگن خوب میشه در باره صحبت کرد. یعنی الان خیلی به همین حالا به خاطر اینم داریم صحبت میکنیم چون تو این هفته‌های اخیر اتفاقای افتاده که بعضی جلوی خودشون نگرفتن صحبتو کردن، خیلی چی میگن کارشون رو از دست دادن، آدمای کله گنده‌ای که کارهای مثلا چند میلیونی واقعا داشتن. حالا دیگه حالا بعدش میتونیم صحبتشو بکنیم. یعنی فکر نکردن که نتیجه این صحبتشون میتونه چه اثری مثلا به عنوان چه اثری روی کل داشته باشه.
Right. And that's I think a kind of a separate conversation as well because they are public. They're people in the public eye.
Right.
However for us individuals out there and it's funny, Ali, I'm talking to you right now and we seem to agree on a lot of things. However, when we were talking about this before, we were kind of butting heads, so I'm surprised.
We'll finish your idea. Maybe our heads will butt soon
enough. I just believe there's freedom of speech, but there's also irresponsible freedom of speech. And I think that should be minimized. And I don't care if someone thinks that certain things are blanket, like you can't apply it to all cases. I think that you can and you should, because in some cases it might offend. And it's just like, okay, let's put it this way. Like the word, the F word used to address gay people or homosexuals.
Right.
I have some friends who are homosexual who don't get offended by that word, but I have some who will, who right. do get offended. So as a rule, I just don't use that word.
That's that's a safe blanket thing, because what positive could ever come from using that word?
Right, and the same from using other politically incorrect
right,
words.
Right, but it's not just about terms. It's also about that.
It's all about behaviors and policies.
But it controls and it constricts your ability to have social discussions about topics. You understand what I'm saying? Like, there's ways to... There's no reason to ever come
Why
out...
Why should you ever never, have a social conversation about those things? I don't get it.
Because I'm... Okay, for example, if you're having a conversation that has to do with race or class or religion, you may really want to say, like, for example, the gay marriage issue. Tons of money flowed in from the Mormon Church in Utah to that campaign to defeat or to, I guess, push through Prop 8. So now if you try to say the Mormon Church is... organizationally anti-gay, homophobic, whatever you want, maybe there's going to be Mormons jump out. How dare you say that? There's no proof, whatever. Now you're stifling our ability to have a conversation, because it's a fact that churches, the religious right, made a concerted effort, both financially and activist wise whatever.
It's different from using derogatory terms to talk about homosexual
no,
people.
It's not. What about when we talk about English only education for like Mexican immigrants in California?
You live in America.
Okay, but people take offense to that. People take offense that Mexican kids, especially immigrants, are taught in two languages in America. But because of political correctness, a lot of that speech gets stifled, because it's like, oh, you're just one of these anti-immigration nuts who wants to you know.
Okay,
kick
I see. You're saying that stifling kind of radicalizes the right and radicalizes the left.
I mean, a good example is the Juan Williams thing that we're gonna get to later. But there's a lot of examples that might say, you know, you can't say anything about profiling of potential terror suspects because you're immediately anti-Muslim. You understand what I'm saying? And obviously, my opinions are going to shift towards the non-profiling side. But I want to hear what the other freaking side has to say. But you can't let them say it because they're afraid to say it. Like some people we've had that wanted to come on the show, especially for the Prop 8 one, they had very thought-out opinions that we all thought were not accurate or were unfair to gay people. But we wanted them to come on the air and share it, and they wouldn't because they're like, I want to get a job at some point.
Right. That's
and it's like,
true.
Why can't you come on the air and tell us your point? He's not out there standing in someone's way and telling him he can't get married. He's allowed to have his opinion.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And that's what it stifles speech. And the further that kind of spirals, it prevents us from talking. And sometimes it creates this polarized environment we have now where it's like the right wing nut jobs go and talk to themselves about they won't let us say this. And the left wingers go, look at how crazy the right wingers are. I was like, well, if we just sat down, if you brought your sane people over to us.
And you know what? I'll even argue that, I would argue that kind of the radicalization perpetuates the stereotypes and the words and the derogatory terms. If at one point we just stopped it, then maybe... Do you see what I'm saying now?
And
the more they radicalize, the more these terms are still existent. While these terms, I really think that in the 21st century shouldn't exist to talk about groups of people.
It's not even just terms. There's ideas maybe like say about
stereotypes.
About immigration that a lot of people hold. That a lot of people have, but only the furthest right nut jobs are willing to say it because everyone else wants to have a job and wants to have their kids be able to go to school with the Mexican down the street without getting in a fight.
Right.
And the same thing on the left is that we may have opinions about, we should have been able to go out and call George Bush and Dick Cheney like genocidal murderers, but maybe our boss is a Republican.
Yeah.
So we can't go. So only the far left nut jobs get to say that.
Right.
And so now we have our nut jobs of each side having the debate instead of like the most sane and rational people. And that's what happens when you kind of stifle speech, it gets pushed out to the edges rather than coming down and having a moderate talk.
Yeah,
I think that Ali makes a really good point here. Good job, Ali.
دقیقاً یعنی همین که اگه از هر دو طرف یعنی باید صحبت بشه این چیزا باید صحبت بشه که اون اختلافاتی که وجود داره تا بتونن بفهمن که درباره هر طرف چجور فکر میکنه تا این مسئله بتونه حل بشه.
Exactly. Okay, so we're going to come back to this discussion. Well, first we're going to go to Word of the Week after break, but then we'll get back to this.
You're listening to Ironic and Live.
Look at Earth from outer space. Everyone must find a place. Give me time and give me space. Give me real, don't give me fake. Give me strength, reserve control. Give me heart and give me soul. Give me time, give us a kiss. Tell me your politics.
دوست و همکار عزیزم علی جباری سلام و صبح بخیر عرض می‌کنم. ان شاءالله عید بر شما مبارک باشه. آقای جباری عزیز،
بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم. السلام علیک یا علی ابن موسی رضا. هر دل بر آستان نگاه تو سرزده، از خانه از نرفته و در مستمر زده. تا کار دارن میکنن اه اونو پدرشون نخواستم بابا.
اصلا خدمت شما که ارتباط با متاسفانه قطع شد. اصلا خدمت شما
That was actually our news anchor before Sarah.
Okay, whatever.
It didn't work out so well. That's all I'm going to say.
That's why they brought me back for this segment.
Wow. دوستان من دادم چه اتفاقی برای این
If no, we have to put that video.
عزیز افتاده.
No, we have to put that video on our blog because the faces, the facial reactions are priceless. This guy just comes out of left field with his reaction. Awesome. It's hysterical.
Now I listen to it, that little 30-second gap in the middle where there nothing was happening, but that should have been a sign that something was about to go really wrong. Like, they had no idea. Like, I had no idea he was on the air, like, that was recording. Like, what's happening right now?
Yeah, no, that's pretty... And you know what? One of my questions is, what happened to that news anchor then? Afterwards, you know?
He asked to take a hike on the Iran-Iraq border.
He got a $2 million contract with Fox. That
happened. Oh, good one. If we had done the Juan Williams segment, that would have made a lot more sense.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
We get it, though.
We're getting there.
خب حالا بگم وقت
word of the week. کلمه هفته بقول ایمان. آخ جاش خیلی خالیه. Who misses ایمان؟ Raise your hand.
خالیه اونجا. Raise your hand. We're on the radio.
Whatever.
خب حالا کدوم یکی از شما میدونه منحل یعنی چی؟
منحل؟
I know her.
منحل.
My cousin used to date her. She's nice.
منحل.
منحل. منحل شدن.
Well, it comes from حل. Which means حل شده, which comes from the root word, I don't know.
It's خیلی نزدیک بود. خیلی.
البته من اول
نه
kind of resolve.
دقیقاً. من اومدم کلمه انحلال رو بگم که اونم چه میگن؟ They have the same root. انحلال و منحل. آره, dissolution, you know, just winding up, wrapping it up. حالا برای چی من دارم این کلمه رو دارم میگم؟ حالا stealing the spotlight from Sarah. این یکی از خبرهایی هم که توی این آخر هفته گذشته شنبه یک شنبه اتفاق افتاد این بود که در تهران یه دانشگاه بزرگ به نسبت یکی از دانشگاه‌هایی که در تهران دانشگاه علوم پزشکی Medical Science University در از یک شب این دانشگاه منحل شد, یعنی دانشگاه از بین رفت. دانشجوی دانشگاه بدون وسط ترم, بدون کلاس موندن و فرستادنشون حالا دانشگاه دیگه.
And what was the reason for this?
خیلی شاید خنده‌دار باشه, ولی این چیزی که من از روی بی بی سی پرژن سورسم بی بی سی پرژن هست میگم, منحل خلوت کردن تهران. برای کم کردن جمعیت تهران تصمیم گرفته شد که این دانشگاه باید از بین بره. حالا چطور به این نتیجه رسیدن از بین تمام استراتژی‌هایی که میتونه وجود داشته باشه, اون رو دیگه باید با مسئولین عزیز صحبت کرد. خلاصه چیز جالبیه که حالا هستش برای چجور تصمیم گیری اونجا انجام میشه. باید واقعا فرهنگ تصمیم گیری اونجا چجور هست نمیدونه.
I mean, I take their word for it. I don't know about you guys. I believe everything they say.
واقعا این یکی از استاده این دانشگاه گفته که من شب ساعت 10 شب SMS به من اومده که دانشگاه منحل شد.
واو.
یعنی دانشگاه از بین رفت. خیلی راحت. حالا در جریان چه اتفاقی میفته؟ حالا این کلمه از اینجا به نظر من رسید, گفتم شاید بشنوین توی اخبارو بخونین جایی اور استو فارسی از کسی بشنوین شاید چیزو بعد.
Well, that's a little different. Resolve tends to have a positive connotation in English. But that's definitely not a positive that it could be used like that.
خلاصه آره. در این زمینه
متأسفانه. خب. That was a great Farsi word of the week. Now on to the English word of the week. Can you guys guess what it is?
How are we gonna guess what it is?
Come on.
Who says things like that?
I do, okay? Are you trying to push my buttons? No. Anyways, based on my gender.
Say the word.
Politically correct. No, I just have to say that this word, I Urban Dictionary'd it. And it's because, you know, Urban Dictionary people can put their own definitions of words and stuff. And it's a lot of like kind of lingo that people use. But politically correct has a lot of different definitions on this website. Some of them really funny. And some of them, it's basically saying censorship, where people try to stop you from saying what you want. It will make the world boring. These are people's opinions, you know, about the concept. And there's one that I think is really interesting. Something that the socialist bacterium constantly aim to be in a debate to try and cover up the fact that they simply have no valid point. Basically, what I think people are getting at with these definitions is that it's a weapon of the left to really use as ammunition to kind of shut the Republicans or the right up.
When used correctly, yeah.
Oh, so you agree with them?
It shouldn't be, but why not? They have every other advantage. Let's use that one to ours.
I don't get it.
Because they're a race made up mostly, a party or a political, I don't know, part of the spectrum that's made up mostly of either wealthy
Anglo-Saxon
white Christians or all of the above, who basically have trouble having anything critical to say openly about anybody else. And so it makes it easy to lob softballs, but somehow they're still better at attacking. I don't know how it works. Just because you can't fight crazy. You ever seen someone had no business being in a fight with someone bigger than them? But you can't fight crazy sometimes.
Really, though.
Crazy wins. That's not very politically correct of me to say, by the way.
It isn't, but you never have a reputation for being PC anyways.
Let's be honest.
Anyways, let's go to break, and then when we come back, we're going to have a great discussion about something.
چیکار میکنن؟ پرودوسر مثلا نمیخواستم.
Take all of your wasted honor. Every little past frustration. Take all of your so-called problems. Better put them in quotations. Say what you need to say. Say what you need to say.
Welcome back to Ironican Live. This is our discussion about political correctness, the benefits and the downfalls of having those types of speeches. There's actually a pretty popular incident that happened a couple weeks ago, ironically, it's kind of a playoff of the whole Islamophobic and mosque location thing debate that happened in the country over the summer. There was a Fox News contributor, but actually NPR reporter.
NPR senior news analyst.
Senior news analyst. NPR, for our Iranian listeners who don't know, is National Public Radio, partially funded by the government, but very liberal, as most... I'm not even going to get into it. They're a liberal outlet, but the guy also does a contributor, is a contributor for Fox News, who without... obviously is a far
right-wing. And another important
thing
to mention about NPR is that they are... legitimate, credible news source for hard news. They're not like a...
That's what I was going to say.
Not a Huffington Post.
Technically, yeah. But even most... they're pretty much as trusted as, say, public broadcast.
Exactly.
Because they draw
7 or 8%
from
government funding.
Right-wingers accuse public broadcast and NPR of having liberal bias anyway. But
right. Anyways, I think that we should get into the clip right now, listen to it, and... And go from there?
Well, actually, I hate to say this to you because I don't want to get your ego going, but I think you're right. I think, look, political correctness can lead to some kind of paralysis where you don't address reality. I mean, look, Bill, I'm not a bigot. You know the kind of books I've written about the civil rights movement in this country. But when I get on a plane, I got to tell you, if I see people who are in Muslim garb, and I think, you know, they're identifying themselves first and foremost as Muslims, I get worried. I get nervous. Now, I remember also that when that Times Square bomber was at court, I think this is just last week, he said the war with Muslims, America's war with Muslims, is just beginning, first drop of blood. I don't think there's any way to get away from these facts, but I think there are people who want to somehow remind us all, as President Bush did after 9/11, it's not a
so
war
I think the statement
Islam.
That was
President Bush went
well,
to a
see, but now
I think the statement that was
right,
a controversy
want,
was the one about when I see Muslim.
Right, but you have to. I mean, it was
put important. It in context.
We talked over a little bit of the context at the end when he said it's important to note that this is not a war against Islam, and he even brought it up at the beginning. Political correctness can do this to discussion. Because I think he was pretty obvious. He knew he was coming out and being politically incorrect with that
right.
statement. But he can't help feeling that way. I guarantee you, if we put the four of our moms in a car and park them in East Oakland on a Friday night, they'd be nervous.
Ali,
but they shouldn't be nervous, though.
Ali, our four moms are not public personas, journalists, like... telling hard news.
That wasn't hard news. What was hard news? He didn't
right,
report
he's
one
commenting.
Fact
no, no,
other
no.
than his opinion.
Ali, I'll agree with you. Let me just say this. Juan Williams, he's written a lot of books, just like he said in that clip. He's written a lot of books, a lot of articles about the civil rights, about Thurgood Marshall, about this and that. And he's clearly not a biased, prejudiced guy. He's not a... No, I'll take that back. He's clearly not a racist, and I don't think that he would say things...
I don't know that he's not a racist, but anyway,
I don't think
ahead.
He's racist.
I really don't.
I don't think that... I think he's conscious of racism. However, he knows he has biases, and that's why he said that. But you just don't say that when you have a... It's like saying... I'm sorry. It's like... You know what? Come back to me when I have a good analogy.
That you're not afraid to say on the air. You have a good one, and you won't say it, even
no, no,
though it's
no,
not
I was
something
actually
you really
no,
feel.
No. I just need a good analogy for it. Come back to me when I have one.
See, here's my opinion, that Sarah also someone that has a journalistic background, in that that's the argument isn't right now that... He somehow compromised his journalistic integrity, because there's a bunch of journalists, especially now in this stupid cable analyst, commentator, talking head craze of how CNN and Fox News and MSNBC run their operation, where there's people who either write opinion pieces or come out and comment, analyze situations from their own point of view. That doesn't inhibit
what you,
their...
Wait, what?
I'm saying that doesn't inhibit...
Since when does subjective point of view enter this equation? I'm
because
confused.
He's a commentator. The same way Fareed Zakaria is a journalist but writes opinion pieces for the same art, for the same publications that he edits for, is that that doesn't inhibit his...
There's a difference between
hold
an
on,
op-ed...
Hold on. That doesn't inhibit his opinion, his ability to state facts. Juan Williams didn't say anything about every Muslim steps on an airplane is a threat to blow something up. He's saying, I'm sitting in my chair reading my magazine. A Muslim family walks by me. I get nervous. Okay, let's talk about it. Especially someone who lived through the civil rights movement and experienced probably the exact same...
Are you naive? Are you naive? He's saying
naive?
That on the... He's saying that with Bill O'Reilly on the show.
Okay.
You think he's... Come on.
Come on,
Bill
what?
O'Reilly
you're not finishing
is
going
to prey on that. Like, he's... Okay, you know what? I would feel bad for the guy. I would even say that NPR shouldn't have fired him or whatever. Should have gave him a great benefit package. if he had on said that on a different news source. Go on MSNBC and say that, please. But don't say that on a show with Bill O'Reilly.
I don't understand the difference.
How do you not understand the difference? He's clearly saying that for a reaction and an ego boost.
Okay, well, that's completely different.
He even said that in the clip. I don't mean to boost your ego. You're boosting Bill O'Reilly's ego, the guy who pretty much feeds on that type of stuff.
Okay, well, I mean, that's a different argument about whether he has it's dangerous or irresponsible for him to say that or not.
It is irresponsible for him to
say that. Yeah, it is.
As a news journalist, you can't say stuff like that. You have a responsibility to tell the news without any bias or you lose credibility. Now, yeah, there's some journalists that might do like op-ed pieces or whatever, but you can't do that. The whole point of news is that you say it. For example, you don't ever write in news writing like, this is a nice house. You say, this is a house. Describe the house. You don't ever out and say...
Give it up to other people to decide whether it's nice
exactly.
or not.
Okay, and when you tell the news like that, you lose credibility as a news journalist. And so I can guarantee you that if I ever see Juan Williams on TV again, I'll be like, well, this guy doesn't know what he's talking about. I'm going to change the channel.
And this is why I'm saying Bill O'Reilly and all that stuff, the outlet for his comments wasn't that great either, because it validates the people. Okay, here we go on me being not so PC. People who watch Fox News tend to have certain views, correct? Mm-hmm. Will you agree with me on that? Mm-hmm. Certain right-wing views, right? Mm-hmm. Seeing those comments, that's the problem with the media of today. People watch and hear what they like to hear. They're not going to hear views that shock them. Right. So when Juan Williams says that on air on Fox News, he's just validating other people's prejudices who are watching him. He's not bringing anything new to the table to discuss.
Okay.
He's just letting people who are watching that newscast think, yeah, that's right.
Okay, so let's go to the opposite. So we have two channels that are, obviously, I'm not going to say that MSNBC is anywhere near to the degree Fox is, but two channels that have unabashed, like, shift
left versus right
slants to their beat. Now let's say you go to CNN. So now here's the negative effect of political correctness. You do a story about, I mean, I'll say evolution, but let's say the environment, something that is very difficult to argue a case the opposite of a pro-environmental or an anti-global
right.
climate change view. But because of political correctness or because of the issues dealing with religion or politics, they have to bring on a talking head from the other side. All they can do is report the facts. When journalism was part of the political debate, the fifth estate in this country, you allowed journalists some leeway to analyze and to interpret the facts for the public who doesn't have time in their lives to look up every part of a new environmental bill from the lobby. You understand what I'm saying? So now what the political correctness does is you have to have a left-wing talking head and you have to have a right-wing talking head. And the guy in the middle, Anderson Cooper, whoever, just reports the facts. You know what that does? It validates opinions that have no right being validated. Anderson Cooper should be able to sit down and say, there's a whole other side to this environmental debate, but that other side is nuts. I was going to say bad.
And you know what? I'll give you that, and I understand where that's coming from.
But he can't say that because he compromises integrity as a journalist. When he's sitting there, he knows that the other side of this argument is crap, but he has to bring up a right-wing talking head in order to appease everyone and say, I'm being politically correct and I'm being balanced.
I see your point.
As a journalist, you can't make that opinion for others. You have to bring every side of the argument forward so that the people that are watching or listening or reading can make that distinction for themselves. You can't just be like, okay, well, yeah, that part is crap, so whatever.
But you know better than anyone that you're choosing a very small sampling of the quote-unquote facts to give them because of time, because of space in the newspaper.
It's true that
how much time is
nowadays,
on TV. They need
attention spans, as we've talked about in previous shows, all of that goes into people just looking for shortcuts to make their opinions, and oftentimes the news, I mean, you've seen it, the way the media now goes into bullet points and all mm-hmm. that stuff to really just give you the hard facts in a really short time span.
Right.
And, I mean, like, I see your point, Ali. However, at the end of the day, NPR is a business and they sell a product, and Juan Williams was no longer aligned with that product or that image that NPR had, so he needed to go.
I mean, that's a completely different argument that the journalists...
Right, but he needs to go, I don't
when
care.
When you create an environment like that for journalists, it's not an accident that, like, on both sides of the spectrum, it's satirists, I don't know how people who do satire, if I'm saying it right. Satirists and commentators are the most influential leaders. Glenn Beck and Rush Limbaugh and Stephen Colbert and Jon Stewart and Bill Maher are the more influential than Anderson Cooper, then you understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, because they get to interpret. Right.
And they have a different responsibility to the news because they're not strictly news journalists.
But what's the good of a journalist? It's just a pretty person with good hair that's reading something that's handed to them on a piece of paper. They're not allowed to interpret. You're not a gatekeeper anymore. Then you're really literally you're just standing there. You're a reporter. You're literally
exactly.
just a reporter.
You're a reporter. So yes, you only report the news. You're not if you're an opinion, you know, person, then yeah, you can do whatever you want or you can say whatever you want.
And I mean, maybe look at a news organization like BBC. Justified. They just report.
And BBC is really credible. And wouldn't you say their stories are, you know, pretty interesting?
Right, but and first they don't operate the same way American news media
does.
It
does. No, that's true.
They don't feel the need to always have two sides of a one-sided debate.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? And not every journalist is a reporter. Sometimes journalist means dig a little deeper, find meaning, not just facts.
Investigative reporting.
Find context.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what American media never does for their people, except for these people. And then obviously people like Stewart or Limbaugh, they shape the context based on, you know, like they said, Jon Stewart's the gatekeeper for the disillusioned left. So he kind of shapes everything for that the disillusioned left. And so it leaves a gap in the middle. Why can't we have like a serious journalist who interprets things too?
That's true.
You know what I'm saying?
I mean, I'm curious to hear what Mahavash thinks about this whole thing before we head into our last segment.
من همش داشتم به شما گوش میکردم ببینم چون آرگومنتتون چی هستش. من در به عنوان یه فرد آدم عادی که نگاه کردم صحبتایی رو که از این آقای هوان ویلیام انجام میداد به نظر اومد خیلی هم هر صحبتی که سارا میکرد خیلی بیمسئولیتیه که در یک آتلت به این بزرگی بخوای همچه صحبتی رو بکنی به عنوان یک فیگری که اینقدر مثلا یک کامنتیتر اینقدر بالاست توی مثلا یک شبکه مثلا NPR و نمیدونم صحبتش رو کردیم یا نه مثلا این صحبت کردن اینجوری ولیدیت میکنه صحبت اون ریسیسم علیه مثلا حالا مسلمان رو تو این زمینه درسته یعنی همه که نمیدونم یعنی مثلا الان شاهد میگفتش که مثلا این کسایی که میشنن فاکس نیوز رو نگاه میکنن خیلی اینطوری هستن ولی خب خیلی یعنی دست راستی هستن اونجوری فکر میکنن خیلی کانسرواتیو هستن برای من خوششون میاد خب حالا همچین چیزی رو بشنون نمیرم مثلا چیزی رو بشنون که مثلا نمیدونم مثلا CNN داره میگه
right.
درسته ولی شاید هم نباشه شاید هم یکی بخواد یک بچه جوونی کسی باشه که هنوز آیدیاش داره شکل میگیره در این زمینه و اون خیلی اثر میذاره یعنی من اگر بشتم همچین چیزی رو به عنوان مثلا بچه جوونتر شاید بگم خب پس درسته من میتونم از مثلا از مسلمان ها بترسم
right.
اوکیه وقتی که آدم همچین کسی با اینقدر حالا کلگونه
yeah.
اینجوری احساسی داره پس برای من که خیلی عادیه
right.
دیگه
لازم نیست بچه باشن you're right man.
آره آره مثلا دارم
be,
میگم
yeah, it
آره.
could be someone like we said at the beginning of the of the political correctness debate که مثلا یه کسی که they have those opinions و فکر میکنن they're in a vast minority خجالت میکشن اینا بگن but when they
آره.
when they feel comfortable that other people have that same opinion maybe they're like yeah you know what we're right we're okay to, it's right for us to be scared of Muslim violence you're right
آره,
I mean, that,
آره.
that's the other side of it
دقیقاً حالا در مورد این اتفاق افتاده ولی یه نمونه دیگه اش هم قضیه همین ریک سانچز بود که آدم به این برنامه خودش رو داشت روی CNN و یه صحبت که نمیدونم در مورد مثلا یهودی های صحبت کرد یا جان استوارت و هر چی فوراً اون هم فایر شد اخراج شد رفت کارش رو از دست داد دیگه یعنی اون هم یه جوره دیگه نوع ریسیزمه که بتونی اونجوری بیای بدون بی‌مسئولیتی مثلا صحبت بکنی یه گروه بزرگی رو تحت همون چیزی که صحبتی که کردین یعنی یه گروه بزرگی رو بیاین یک تگ منفی بهش بزنین یا بگی مثلا همشون این کاره هن. مثلا همینی که همه الان ما ایرونیا به طور خیلی زیادی داریم باید داریم تمام مدت داریم تو آمریکا باش میجنگیم که ما تروریست نیستیم مثلا عربا تروریست نیستن همه مسلمان تروریست نیستن همه کلا
right.
مثلا هر رئیس دیگه حالا ما به طور خاص داریم با اون میجنگیم درسته خلاص
exactly so at the end of the day these things are going to keep happening, right?
Yes. So I mean, it's funny. We're gonna get into a little bit about the Jon Stewart rally in the next segment. And it's you know something interesting Jon Stewart said is that let's not confuse a real racist with every Tea Party member or Juan Williams or Rick Sanchez. As he said, not only is that insulting to the people you're accusing, but it's insulting to the actual racists who spend their time out there working hard to be to be racist. So let's put the real blame and the real anger where it's directed.
Where
but
it
we'll come back and talk about that. You're listening to Ironic and Live. This is taken for a break.
فهرست سیاه، فهرست قرمز، فهرست بزرگ و جهانی و بگویل. با موتور جستجوگرم گشتم و ویراج زدم تو کوچه های تو در توی فیلترنت. توی فیسبوک آقابل پیدا کردم، عدد کردم. صد بار ایگنورم کردی. نرمیدم، نگسستم. روی استاتوسم نوشتم که تو صیادی و من آهوی دشتم. تا به دام تو در افتم همه جا دنبالت گشتم. من همون آهوی دشتم. توی لیدن، توی مسپیس، توی ورکت دنبالت گشتم. ایمیج و پروفایلم رو دادم بچه های خبرگزاری فارس، فوتوشاپ کردن و خوشتیپ شدم. یه سری عکس از غروب از تو فلیکر تو آلبوم آپلود کردم و دریوری های اوشو کپشن کردم تا آخر اکسپتم کردی. مثل سایه تو کامیونیتی ها دنبالت بودم. هرچی لینک میکردی، لایک میکردم، شیر میکردم. ویدیوهای یوتیوب رو زیر اسم تگ میکردم، به ایونت ها اینوایت میکردم. میزدم خودم رو به در و به بالا. گرم یاد و وریانم من از یادت نمیخوام. من تو را چش دارم، اینقدر برات گیف میفرستم، اینقدر گیف میفرستم تو بدون هیچ وقت یادت.
Or people of activism, or to look down our noses at the heartland, or passionate argument, or to suggest that times are not difficult and that we have nothing to fear. They are, and we do. But we live now in hard times, not end times.
I shouldn't say this about another man, but I love him.
Aww, Johnny. Are you overcoming your like lack of affection for? I don't know. You have like strange things about romantic relationships.
No, Mr. Producer Man tries to hug me every time.
No, okay.
Because he thinks it's funny. I'm
Anyways, we have Zeman on the air with us, and
who was
he's actually at the rally.
Yeah, guys. Yep.
For the
Ooh, are you in DC,
Zeman,
or are you here?
Yeah, you guys missed out. Jotun Khairi Khali to DC. It was like an amazing event. 215,000 people.
Oh my god.
According to Fox News, there was 12 and a half people there.
Yeah, I'm sure there wasn't as many. But like, you know, it was one of those events where it's just historic, you know? Like the Glenn Beck event that like, was a couple weeks ago, that was only like 89,000. This one was 215,000.
No, that was actually 17 million.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Sorry.
According to Fox News again,
the numbers all screwed up.
Your sources are strange, man.
گفتی 215,000.
Yeah, that's
wow,
about 200,000.
Wow, Glenn Beck 100,000 هم نبود. It wasn't
his own psychotic
Glenn
estimates.
Glenn Beck got owned.
Yeah, if in his own crazy estimates, it's somewhere in the two. So probably cut that in like third, maybe. Oh. But definitely, it was at least comparable. It looks like it trumped it by leaps and bounds. So I think that's amazing to me by itself.
Good job.
If we amplify everything, we hear nothing. There are terrorists and racists and Stalinists and theocrats. But those are titles that must be earned. You must have the resume. Not being able to distinguish between real racists and Tea Partiers or real bigots and Juan Williams or Rick Sanchez is an insult, not only to those people, but to the racists themselves who have put in the exhausting effort it takes to hate.
Wow. Yeah,
exactly. Ooh, go John Stewart.
Go John Stewart. Wow. He was agreeing with me.
Exactly.
He was saying don't blow every little
thing
out of proportion.
But I agreed with you at the end, so I agree with John Stewart. Okay, thanks.
Next time I'm just going to say John Stewart told me that.
Oh, okay.
Blah, blah, blah. Sean's going to be like, you know what? You're right. So what was the general atmosphere? I saw something online, Zimon, about like the 100 funniest signs. I probably laughed like 89 times out of the 100.
Oh my God, you guys. That was the best part of the whole event, I thought. It was
the signs.
Like the signs. Okay, so one of them is like, less Sarah Palin, more parasailing.
Dude, oh, really?
Oh, I get it. Like breast jobs?
What the?
What? How did she explain.
I want to hang out with you when you parasail. That's all I know. I don't know what
the booze I was going to say. It's a pair of salines that go in breast.
No. Or that. I say less Sarah Palin, more pairs of salines.
I just embarrassed myself on air.
There was another funny one. It was a really old like white gentleman that had a sign that said, I fought the Nazis and they didn't look like Obama.
There was one here. If Obama is Muslims, can we all have Fridays off?
Seriously? Wow.
There's one I love the most is God hates figs. Instead of the other word.
Oh, yeah. Or Jesus says relax. That was a good one.
That's awesome.
Very fan. I'm sure it didn't hurt that it was the day before Halloween, too. People were up and ready. Sorry. You had another one, Zimon?
There was a sign. It was a transparent sign. And the guy was like, I wrote this sign on a transparent board so I can be respectful of those behind me.
It was good. What age group did you see out there? It was all over the spectrum, I'm assuming. It was like people who voted for Obama, basically. Showed up every race and color that's not going to show up on Tuesday, which is why, or that didn't show up yesterday.
There were conservatives there too. There were Republicans there too, actually, that we saw.
What kind of like? How did they distinguish themselves?
One of them was like, my friend is a Republican. My friend is a Democrat. That arrow's pointing.
That's funny.
Just to show that diversity in some way.
آره آره یعنی میخواستن نشون بدن که همه جوری هستن تو این قضیه. میدونی تو لازم نیست که یکی بود خود جان استورت میگفتش که I may disagree with you, but I'm sure you're not Hitler.
Yeah, you're not Hitler. That's right. That's right. That was a good one. Yeah.
Yani همه جوری بودن.
I mean, that's good that they were there.
چیزی که من.
But it was one of those events where we went as Iranican, we went represented. We had like hundreds of Iranian Americans there. Mm. And we had this banner and we were doing reporting there, and hopefully we'll have the report out sometime soon on Iranican.com. And my favorite part was just the fact that all the Iranians there were just loving the thing that we were doing in terms of like just getting us all together. And the non-Iranians were all like cheering us on. They were like, oh my God, this is amazing. I'm so glad you guys did this. You brought a sign saying Iranian Americans for a sane and fearful America. And, you know, they were like, wow, so which one should we be fearful? Should we say? And that was one of the questions we asked. We asked, like, should you be afraid of us? Are you afraid of us? And it was just fun. It was like
who brought the kotlet and kubide?
Nobody, man. Nobody ended up bringing any food.
There weren't any girls with you, Yun?
We were starving. We ended up eating chole kebab afterwards.
Oh, nice. Okay.
That wasn't a total loss.
Moby Dick. That's him, Moby Dick.
Oh, nice.
Anyways, well, I want to thank everyone who came on the show tonight. Adi, Sara, Mahfa. She had a really good show. I feel like this is like my last show, but it's not.
It's not.
It's not. I have no idea. I'm hungry. I haven't ate anything in a while. My blood sugar's low. I gave blood today. All those kids.
Wow.
Mm-hmm.
Well, okay. Signing off saying, if you have something to say, just say it. Worst come to worst, people will get mad at you.
You don't have something nice to say, don't say it.
Actually,
at
worst
all.
Come to worst, you might get fired and shunned and have to leave the country. So we're still in a politically correct society.
I mean, I guess
so
just put it in perspective,
careful.
Right?
Right.
Anyways, have a great week and weekend.
And we'll see you in a couple weeks. Thanks for joining us. This is Radio Javon. This show was Ironic and Live. See you guys later. منو این منو 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 من
ماشین و اشغالیه. منو این منو این منو منو این منو این این منو این منو منو این منو این این منو این منو منو این ما هم دیگه خوشبختی. منو این منو این منو منو این منو این این منو این منو منو این منو این این منو این منو منو این ما هم دیگه خوشبختی. رو تخته ایم. آره به پیشگی نمیخوان سر نخ بدیم که کجا میریم و کجا میام. بخوا راستشو فقط به دو جا میام. اولی شیطونی دومی مهمونی توی تو دودم و انکار توی مهمونی. از همه تو میخوام اینو محکم بگیم که من و این اینو من مکملیم. من و این این من و این من و من و این من و این این من و این من و من و این من و این این من و این من و من و این ما هم دیگه خوشبخت. منو این شکی نی هیش که عین ما شبی نی. اگه بخوای با من آشنا بشی ما بیشتر به شما شهر میدیم. واسه هم دیگه سر میدیم و با هم دیگه صمیمی میمونیم تا به دنیا ثابت کنیم تو عشق ما سر دینی. منو این